This holiday, deck their countertops with peppermint white chocolate mochas, gingerbread lattes, and pumpkin cream cold brews. Ninja Luxe Cafe is the ultimate gift. It's the number one best-selling espresso machine in the U.S., perfect for the coffee lovers in your life. If they can dream it, they can brew it. No skills needed. Espresso balanced. Drip coffee, rich. Cold brew in a flash. Hands-free, silky microfoam. Dairy or plant-based milks. Bring joy into their holiday and every day after with Ninja Luxe Cafe. Shop now.
Hello and welcome to the Undercut Podcast. I'm your host this evening, Jesse Billington, and we're back to preview the 23rd and penultimate round of the 2025 Formula One season, the Qatar Grand Prix. To do this, I'm joined once again by my co-host, Mr. Timo Albus Daly. How are you?
Constantly checking the numbers at the top of this Google document ever since we had that slight numbering issue a few rounds ago, and me thinking, is it really 23? Yes, it is 23. Is it really? Yes. No, we're sure this time. So aside from that small stress, I'm quite good. How are you?
I'm doing all right. It is good that we check, otherwise I will just run burgundy through whatever's written in front of me. So
this is why I double, triple check now, because it's happened a couple times now, and right, damn it. That's partly on me, but also I should know that you're just going to read whatever's in front of you at this point.
Yeah, it is useful to check. Actually, I'll just screenshot that for later reference. I'm doing well. Been a busy day. Obviously, we've had the budget announced here when it comes to UK politics, which meant that I had to sit there for about an hour taking notes on it to then turn around a podcast that afternoon for work. So that was all fun. But conveniently, they accidentally released it early, so I could sort of jump the gun. So I had sort of all my notes written halfway through Rachel Reeves actually finishing talking. So I was like, she's just saying stuff I already...
Well, that was what you were saying to me the other day, was what you wanted as an early Christmas present was a budget that was slightly earlier released than it would be for planning permission so you could get ahead on work. So it worked out perfectly for you.
I would have liked a budget that actually meant something. But anyway, that's a story for a different podcast. We're immediately getting sidetracked. Back to where we're supposed to be. And we are joined by friend of the podcast, Kiara Martin. How are you?
Hi. I'm actually doing quite well, in the middle of exam stress right now, because I did decide to go back to uni at a very last minute decision. So that's been going on. And I'm also flying to Qatar, so... this is a little fun preview to do.
When are you arriving in Qatar? What's the
Saturday morning before like the Formula 2 round start, because I still have to attend my accounting class so I know what's happening in my exam.
That pesky thing of still having something to actually do on a Friday unfortunately ties you down a bit there.
Yeah.
But no, it should be good. And have you got sort of grandstand tickets? So you sort of paddock? What's the deal for the weekend?
Paddock. Yeah,
it's going to be a heck of an experience, especially it's going to be a very busy paddock, as we're about to get into. Crucially, the most important thing that I think a lot of people will be asking questions about is the news that broke, thankfully, before we started recording, as is very typical, often this news breaks when we finish recording, is that Adrian Newey will be the new team principal at Aston Martin. And makes sense, he's been in the sport long enough to know its ins and outs better than most. He's stepped up to this, to block Horner coming over, maybe. He genuinely fell out with Horner in their closing years at Red Bull, so it really does ask the question whether or not this was sort of a move of two prongs. But it's a bold call, and it'll be interesting to see how it goes. In reality, if he's got the right team under him when it comes to design, I think he's going to be okay. And given the amount of names and decent designers he scalped from Milton Keynes, he's probably going to be quite confident with this move. He'll have done the groundwork for the upcoming car and its designs, because he's been actually allowed to work on those since May, I think, this year. So he's had a fair while to get that car sort of under control, the designs for the 2026 reg sorted, and then leave a team that he's confident in to sort of continue working on that. Andy Cowell isn't exactly leaving the team. Obviously, he only joined about 14 months ago in 2024 after great engine success at Mercedes, and is set to take on a newly created role as chief strategy officer. So he's still going to be around, still going to be sort of calling a few shots, but Newey's the new top dog at Aston Martin.
It's one of those pieces of news where I don't think I would have spat my cup of tea out had I been drinking one at the time, but it wouldn't have been far off, because as much as you say it makes sense, and it does for reasons I'll get to in a second as well, it was also such a bit of a left field call, because we were talking 2 days ago about Seidel and Horner and thinking, there's some interesting movement there. Both would be bold calls for very different reasons. And then the man that we weren't really considering for the role in a lot of ways, because we thought he'd have his hands full designing a Formula One car with a new set of regulations, that'd be enough to keep anyone busy the best of times. And he's just gone, you know what? I'll do that instead then. And I do wonder, he was already on a pretty lucrative deal, courtesy of Aston Martin. What else does he get now as kind of the bonuses associated with this? Or have they had to try and figure out what to offer him that isn't financial because he's giving Lawrence Stroll's piggy bank a good run on the go here. But you're saying about it being a decision that makes sense. I was going back and forth with that because on the one hand, yes, but on the other hand, you don't want him of all people to get distracted with the business side, the media side. You see what McLaren have done with Seidl and Brown, and that's worked out quite well. And Alex Brundle put up a thing earlier, which I think summed it up quite nicely. It's from a competition perspective, 100% bang on. But the smart bit will be defending him from the media business side, and maybe that's going to be still part of Andy's role. Maybe there'll be another person that we haven't seen announced yet going into that sort of role, whereas he can sit on the pit wall, watch everyone else's cars as well as his own, and compare and contrast, and then have a word with his minions back at the factory that, as you say, if he's got the right team under him, that should go quite well. So it makes sense as long as they don't try and turn him into something he's not, because I don't, well, I don't doubt he's not capable of that. Why try and teach that particular old dog that new trick when he doesn't need to learn it? You can get someone in to do it. Again, you're Aston Martin, you're not short of a few quid.
Aren't we used to that by now, though? Like when you think about Aston Martin media in general, they don't really say as much as the other teams. But I do have to agree with you.
New
I
year, new
chalk.
things maybe.
Like, oh come on, there's a lot to work on in that sense. We know that's my forte. But I have to say, I wasn't too shocked either. I was more shocked when I saw the BBC article saying that Horner was a possibility. If that makes sense. And when it was announced that it was, well, it is Adrian Newey, I was in class and I was chilling. I wasn't screaming at people to like get an article out or anything. I was like, okay, well, if that's what they want to do, it might be an interesting shout. And maybe if it doesn't work out, we'll see a switch. Or like you said, there's going to be another person coming in taking more on the media side of things.
I think Mercedes have an interesting balance because some weekends we see Toto Wolff sort of stepping up to the microphone and doing bits and pieces. But a bit more this season, certainly, we've occasionally seen, was it head of communications Mercedes, Bradley Lord, stepping in to fill that role at the tail end of last year as well. Just sort of taking a bit of the heat off of the situations, being the one who's able to sort of fill in when Toto's not been there, if he's not flown out to a race, able to discuss that. And we're seeing some teams that are able to sort of do that delegation without it really being a noticeable step. And I think Aston Martin might be able to pull this off. If you certainly think about the fact that they have now had four different team principals in 4 years, we criticize Alpine for doing that,
I was
but
about to say, you're giving
Aston
Alpine a run for the money there, aren't you?
Martin. But Aston Martin sort of seem to PR it and manage it a lot better, which gives me sort of a bit of faith that they're going to do something proper when it comes to
Well, I think it's
development.
the rest of the Aston Martin project as a whole that gives you that faith, right? Because you go, okay, yeah, they're going through team principals at a rate or not, but everything else is pretty stable. Okay, the results with the car and what we want them to be, they're driving with one driver behind their back sort of thing, but on the whole, they're putting on a lot of investment. They're poaching people left, right, and centre to come and join them. Whereas with Alpine, we still have no clue. It's been how many years since their first announcement of a 100-race plan, and we still don't know what the heck's going on over there. And I don't think they do either. Whereas with Aston Martin, like you say, that whilst Kiara might want them to say a bit more sometimes, them saying less does do them a couple of favours here and there. And you're saying about Bradley Lord coming out as well with Mercedes this year a bit more. It's something we're seeing more and more from the F1 teams, right? I mean, we had that with Nicky when he was still at Mercedes, and we see that with Red Bull, first with Christian and Helmut, and now with Laurent and Helmut still. McLaren obviously have not doing that with Seidl and Brown. So it makes sense to do that because I think these days it's harder for a team principal to do everything that they used to do in that role because of the media presence and the business side of it that's more there than it ever was. Let's say before Liberty, it was always going to ramp up in one way or another. But when Liberty got hold, it was going to obviously have more of an emphasis on the media side of it. And some teams realize sooner rather than others that they're going to have to figure that out and how to balance that. And maybe team principal for Adrian in this case means traditional team principal rather than modern day potential team principal.
Yeah, I think we're going, possibly speaking with rose-tinted spectacles on, we're sort of going back to the time of the likes of Frank Williams, where you had team principals that were very hands-on in the sort of the direct management of a team, but sort of very much left everything else outside of the team to sort of deal with itself as it comes. Sponsors would come and go as needed at Williams, but Frank was there to produce a company that could engineer an absolutely fantastic race car, and I think that's the route that Newey's going down
It's a
now.
little bit like we're seeing Audi do with they've got the two people there, but anyway, they are both perfect for those respective roles. And then working together, you wouldn't want either of them to take over the role entirely because it wouldn't work then. You can see that so clearly with them.
Binotto and with Mr. Wheatley as well, you've got that sort of that pairing. And again, you can have, when something goes wrong with one side of the business, you have that person sort of essentially disguise the other one sort of doing something else. You can, it's sort of the distraction technique for pickpocketing. It's sort of, if I touch you on your elbow, you don't notice I'm pulling.
Do the Homer going back into the hedge, and then the other one comes back out of it to deal with the issue.
Yeah, it's a very clever strategy you could see put in employment here. But when it comes to strategy, it's something that's going to be called into question this weekend because it is another tyre-based race when it comes to the Qatar Grand Prix. Obviously, we've got a sprint race which won't be affected too hugely by the issues, but the Grand Prix is 57 laps long, and Pirelli has mandated a 25-lap maximum for the Grand Prix. This only includes racing laps, so laps to the grid, formation laps, or cool-down laps post-checkered flag won't count to that. But if you scrub in a set of tires, that counts to the tires degradation. That counts to the fact that you will not be able to use it for that 20, well, starts that 25 lap period for that tire. So there is, yeah, there is, we're going to see two stoppers at a minimum this weekend. And I wouldn't be surprised if we see a team that realizes that with a pit lane that's going to be that busy, we could see three stoppers. And team, I think you've possibly gotten bolder when it gets to the predictions as well. But yeah, Qatar will be using the hardest compounds in the Pirelli range. C1 is the hard, C2 is the medium, and the C3 is the soft. This follows on from the news that they're dropping the C6 compound for the 2026 season because it's chewing gum. It's done after a sector. It's useless at that point. So certainly not a tire to have around Qatar. And being a sprint weekend, each driver will be supplied with two sets of hard tires, four of medium and six of soft. Just that extra sort of batches across the range is certainly in the softer end, just to cope with the added racing action.
Your challenge, Kiara, is to come back from Qatar with at least one part of a tire, because there'll be enough debris lying around somewhere for you to pick up something.
Oh, 100%. I mean, one of my first media posts regarding Qatar was a fun Qatar drinking game where I was actually making people take shots depending.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's RUBRIK.com.
On track limits, or who has to go to the pit stop first, or their strategy. And everybody complained that if they followed what I made them do or the rules that I made, they'd come out of the race really drunk.
I was
And
thinking 2021 style blowouts every time you take a
yeah.
shot for that, because if it's another one of those kind of years, that'll work pretty well
It was
too.
something I was trying to avoid, especially knowing that this could be a very vital race for certain drivers on the grid. And me being there, I'm probably going to be a nervous wreck for sure. But I think it's always quite interesting to see what Pirelli come up with, or like you said, the different strategies, because now is not the time to make silly mistakes. And when that does happen, I can just picture all of us sighing. And, smacking our forehead, maybe even going to grab a drink.
There is one team that has made a habit itself this season of getting pit strategies wrong or not necessarily executing in the way that they're particularly after. So I think this could be another week. This could be the weekend we finally see Oscar Piastri grow a pair of balls and say, "No, you screwed up, Lando's pissed off. I'm not letting him past." And I think that's going to be very exciting when that happens because that's championship contention stuff. Lando needs to, I think he needs to, if he doesn't win, he needs to
He
outscore.
needs to outscore both of them by 2 points
Two,
if he wants to
basically.
seal it in Qatar, which is a tall order, let's say, especially when you throw in the tires.
Yeah.
But considering Qatar, I know we've gone back and forth over this ever since we've I mean, I think Qatar, the first one, was probably one of our first episodes for this podcast, Jesse. Maybe third or fourth one at most. But it's never been dull. It's always been frustrating, interesting, drama packed, but we haven't had a dull Qatar Grand Prix. You think last year was just a mess in a lot of ways,
Yes.
but there was the stake finally getting points or a point from Joe. You had the sprint in 23, and then you had the Mercedes taking practically each other out, and Perez crashing out, essentially gifting Verstappen his championship midway through a sprint. And then 21, I mean, that in itself, you had the championship backdrop for it. You had Alonso around, and you had Gasly doing his thing, and then tyres blowing out left, right, and centre. So I know we're going to get to predictions in a minute, but it's. If ever there was a time that we're just completely 100% wrong on everything, but we don't mind, it'll be Qatar because we're in for some kind of a show.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting however it goes. And yeah, the 2021, obviously, first time going there, the race was noted for four front left tire failures as teams attempted to run one-stop strategies against Pirelli's advice. This was the other thing. Pirelli said, please don't do that. It won't go well. And then four different tires failed and they all went, maybe we shouldn't have done that. Wasn't it also, was it last year? No, year before last, 2023. That it tried to kill Logan Sargeant with heat exhaustion as well. Like it's a race.
Yes, I forgot about that actually. But
Yeah.
he was doing, I don't want to say he was doing fine, but like he had that radio message where he said he's not feeling too good, and James Bowles made the decision to retire the car.
Yeah, they said, look, there's no point in you fighting on. If you want to retire, we won't hold it against you. And I mean, the drivers get out of the cars like physically ruined after this. It is a race that really puts them up against it. So again, there's a lot to factor into this weekend's action that's going to make it just that little bit more exciting. Speaking of, I don't
No,
think
I was just thinking about for another bold prediction, but I'll get to that later.
we'll get to that later. I was going to say, speaking of exciting, but I don't know how exciting this race is going to be, if the race is even going to be. This is the question around the Madrid Grand Prix and the Madring, which is supposed to be joining the season in 2026 in late summer. However, early rumours suggest that the track is way behind on construction and won't be ready to be certified anywhere near to it. Obviously, we've seen this before with circuits that have been under construction, been sort of very close to the wire. Saudi Arabia pulled theirs together very last minute, but they have, let's say, a unique working environment compared to the way that the Spanish have employment laws. And yeah, it would the FIA was able to get along to the circuit probably like the Tuesday before and go, yep, this is good. Thank you for the money. Bye. And yeah, I think Spain is going to offer a different thing, and Imola is already apparently prepared to step in if needs be. So we could be returning to Imola in late September with smaller, narrower, lighter cars that are aerodynamically a bit different. And I'm not against
Wouldn't
that.
be surprised if they did pull it together, but I wouldn't also be too mad if they didn't and
I'd
they
rather
either
they
dropped
didn't.
it. Well, yes, yeah, I mean, I was trying to be polite, but never mind.
A circuit with one
Yeah.
hectic braking zone, it's not going to be great for overtaking,
Yeah.
even with
Yeah. That.
X mode, Y mode, Z mode setups for the car.
True, true. As I say, I'm not, I wouldn't be mad if they do drop it for next year and went somewhere else, Turkey, for example, or just had a gap between Monza and Baku at the same time. You know, the calendar's long enough as it is. We maybe too long already. That's a whole debate we can get into another time. But again, I don't see the fascination still with having a street circuit in Madrid when there's perfectly good circuits elsewhere, proper race circuits. Again, I know my soft spot is for Turkey. I want them to go back to Istanbul Park. And also, we had that, was that September, October time when we had it last in 2020? So, you know, the weather's interesting around that time of year. Go to Turkey instead. Make everyone
20,
happy.
yeah, 2021, it was the 10th of October, and I think it would have been about the same time in 2020 because it was that sort of lovely, coolish autumn weather. So it was later,
Potential for rain.
2020, it was later still, it was the 15th of November, which would have been
Then
why.
let's go in September then. There we
Yeah,
go.
it'd be
Get a bit of
warmer.
late summer showers, get a, you know, throw things up a bit.
But yeah, when it comes to Spanish Grand Prix circuits, I think Spain is one of those countries that is absolutely flush when it comes to like proper circuits. You've obviously got Barcelona,
Well, they
which,
have a Spanish F4 championship. You
yeah,
know, you kind of have to have circuits for that.
I think we've also got,
Fair.
I think, yeah.
Valencia is also another track. You've got Valencia. It's not the most practical one. I've been there twice now, and every time I go there, I ask myself why I, do that. Because it
It's
is
to bring
40
back the
minutes. It's
memories of that
around like
great Formula
40
E
minutes
race.
away. I see. I opted not to go to that one. But I
Shame.
was there for GTWC, so sports cars, and it was a 40-minute drive to and from.
It's, yeah.
Practical.
Yeah. Spain's got Barcelona, which we know about, obviously. They've got Jerez, they've got Aragon, which used to be Grand Prix certified and probably wouldn't take too much to update it again. I think that's about all they've got at the moment. They've got three as it
Bring
stands.
back the Valencia street circuit. There we go.
Let's just go to Jerez.
There.
It exists. It's already used by MotoGP. It's ready to host top flight motorsports. It's got all the things it needs. I don't see why we just don't go to Jerez if we want more Spain. But anyway, Madrid out of the way. We'll move to Formula 2 briefly because, of course, the penultimate round of the Formula 2 season is underway this weekend as well. And, well, there's a lot of driver news. Laurens van Hopen will be back with Trident for both Qatar and Abu Dhabi. James Wharton will also race for Trident, but so far only registered to be racing in Qatar. Martinez Stenshorn will race for Rodin Motorsport for both Qatar and Abu Dhabi, while Mary Boyer will race for Prema in 2026, with Roman Belinsky moving to Downs Lucas Oil for the 2026 season as well. So we've got, as we often get with sort of the tail end of the F2 season, is a couple of seats appear at teams that aren't necessarily had to have or don't necessarily have drivers scrapping for the title, and it gives us the opportunity to move up Formula 3 drivers, which is always quite exciting. I think we've also got
So love
yes.
going in for Campos because of Pepe's now
Oh
absence to
yes.
Italy.
Yeah, pulled out just go and do Formula E. And I think I sent the screenshot to Timo earlier. He's Pepe Marti immediately went on a podcast and started slating Formula 2. He said, one weekend I'd have an engine that was great. The next weekend it was swapped. I'd have an absolutely terrible engine. Then another streak of weekends where I had the good engine again. I'm like, Formula 2, you're an interesting beast every now and then. But yeah, the circus rolls on.
Yeah, the driver choices here are interesting as well. I mean, Van Hopen, P13 and P12 in his back-to-back F3 season with ART, and then finished P17 in both races in Baku earlier this season. I'm always fascinated by how they choose drivers without Jesse saying the obvious reason for why. Yes. Again, we know I'm the purist here and not and always wanting it to be chosen for pure reasons and not just for Mr. Krabs, here's a bag of cash in Yeah, so that one was interesting for me. James Wharton, 2023 F4 UAE champion. Good. Less good, P33 and P18 in his back-to-back F3 season. So I'm not quite sure how we managed to, aside from, again, the obvious, get a seat for Formula 2 for Qatar. Stenshorn, P5 in F3 this year. So that's more making sense. And that was probably going to happen anyway. It's funny when you can have a double DNF in Baku, like he did earlier this year, but that doesn't really count against you because everyone was like, yeah, that's not on you, really. That's just Baku and Formula 2. Stuff happens. Mary Boyer, Formula 3 this season, and then P2 in the Macau Grand Prix, I want to say. So that makes sense. And also on Fernando Alonso's stable. So he probably helped him along a little bit there. And then Roman Belinsky, as you know, Jesse, Fraser Ford's favourite Polish motorsport driver, and now yours by default after you forgot who Robert Kubica was. A Formula Regional Oceania champion in 24, but then finished in P11 in Formula 3 this year. So mixed bag, but again, Pushmani is ever present in our thoughts whenever we see F3, F2 driver moves because we don't know what to do with that anymore.
Yeah, it's never able to read it.
Well, let's just say we thought he was going to go to Formula E at some point or like make that jump because we do have to admit we didn't know how Pepe Marti got put into that mix because he wasn't in any of the rookie testing that we so diligently follow and report on. So we were thinking, oh, it's going to be Kush this time since he's got a long-standing relationship, but looks like it wasn't going to be him. And some drivers have told me during interviews or even press conferences that they weren't coming back in 2026. So you had a little bit of an idea who could be moving up and who couldn't be. Solov was the most obvious choice for me to move up for Campos. I think that was a given, but as you said, Van Hopen, I wasn't too sure about that one because it didn't really go that well last time around as well.
Is there anyone of those people on the list that you're looking forward to seeing in Qatar and Abu Dhabi, or are you just going to be reserved and tell us afterwards? That's exactly how I thought that was going to go.
Honestly, I kind of want to see how Tsolov fares in Formula 2 because he's been superb in Formula 3 the whole entire time. Like, I think he's got the right mindset for it. Sometimes I do feel like this is a testing ground to see whether they want to move.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's RUBRIK.com.
Move on with a driver in the next season, for example. Like, I'm not entirely sure why James Wharton was the one chosen to, come on. Because I have met James in Macau last year, but that wasn't too good for him either. It was raining as usual, and we all know how Macau can be. And I'm quite surprised to see him there, but I know he has a good relationship with the team, so we'll see with that. I don't want to put too much pressure on them because at the end of the day, this is new territory for the ones who haven't driven in Qatar yet. It's going to be
Yeah, so
carnage.
you don't mind doing that. You
I
put
don't
pressure
mind
on them, choose
pressure
someone.
on. Yeah.
I mean, by all means, go ahead and race. I'd love to watch both of you on the track.
I'd need to lose a little bit of weight before I can fit in an F2 chassis. I think Martinez Stenshorn's going to be the interesting one here. I think there's a lot of promise with what he's got coming forwards. And I think, again, him getting these sort of couple of races to get his feet under the table, get settled, puts him in a strong position for the 2026 campaign, especially given the sort of interesting array of drivers that are going to be in that Formula 2 season. There's every reason that he needs to be sort of coming in all guns blazing, ready to really sort of show up some interesting talents. Let's not forget that sort of 2026, we're still waiting for a lot of the
It's
Formula
a
drivers
very
to announce.
weird crossover season. So it's either going to give us something special, or whoever is just on it because they're expecting to have to deal with a lot of competition is then just going to run away with it and go, oh, this was a lot easier than I thought it was going to be.
We've got the dregs of a really good season sort of still floating around, and then we've got some interesting names sprinkled in, and then Colton Herta, and we're sort of going,
My God.
I don't know where we're going to go with this. So it's interesting, and again,
And those are the names we know about.
those are the names
We
we know
don't
about.
even
There's
have
still a
everyone
lot of
yet.
gaps. Yeah, I think I've got a few gaps that I can fill in, but I think like MP, Hi-Tech, Prema, Dams, AR, I think Dams are going to fill in, but ART, Rodin, Trident, VAR, for their 2026 season, there's still open seats. And annoyingly, it's just too big of a reasonable step to make to pull some drivers out of Formula One Academy and chuck them in. If it was Formula Three, I'd make a different argument, but Formula Two, it's just too far a step, I think, to ask drivers to sort of drag them up. But hopefully that sort of space will trickle down to Formula Three for next season. We'll see some more interesting names emerge there. With the news out of the way, Timo, you have some fun facts for us ahead of the Qatar Grand Prix.
Got in terms of stats, because as you know, we haven't really been racing that long in Qatar, so I am a bit limited in what I can do here in the history books. But interestingly, only Hamilton and Verstappen have won in Qatar, so that obviously favours one driver over the other in particular this weekend, but does also favour one driver over another two drivers this weekend. Hamilton, Verstappen, and Russell were the only drivers on pole position, but Russell sort of inherited his because of that famous one place grid penalty for Verstappen. And Oscar Piastri has won both sprint races that have been held in Qatar so far. So maybe he wins the sprint, Verstappen wins the Grand Prix. That just makes things a bit more interesting. I don't know where that leaves Norris, but that could be a fun way to go into Abu Dhabi. So, or this is the time where we can finally say Lewis Hamilton's a Grand Prix winner and he does it in Qatar. Who knows?
Oh, that's a lot of predicting you're doing there.
I'm getting ready for the next section. I'm
I'm
going all out. It's
scared for
Qatar.
your
We don't know
next
what's going to
section.
happen.
There's some audacious predictions. Yeah, I don't think it depends what Norris does across those races if we get Oscar winning the sprint yet again and Verstappen winning the Grand Prix, because obviously they're what 24 points off of us of Lando at the moment, so they've got a fair way to go. And yeah, while
But
an outright Grand Prix win with unanswered points from Verstappen again would see him overtake Norris, it really depends on what Piastri can do because they both can't win the Grand Prix. I don't know. There's obviously multiple permutations where sort of Piastri gets his 8 points for the sprint, and then however many he needs to get in the Grand Prix to also essentially draw level with Norris,
I
assuming
mean,
Norris.
wouldn't that be a heck of a turnaround? We come out of the weekend and Norris is in P3 and Verstappen and Piastri are P1 and P2.
Crashgate 2.0?
Crashgate 2.0, or it's sort of.
Flavio? No.
I see Flavio too often. Come on.
Or it's getting sort of very much like the three-way tie at the start of Cars, where we sort of have to have sort of it's all down to one race, and that would be very interesting come Abu Dhabi. I don't think we're seeing the championship wrapped up this weekend. I just don't think it's going to happen this weekend. I think
I
the
agree.
pressure.
Well, don't say that. It's the sole reason I'm going to Qatar because I won't be able to make it to Abu Dhabi, and it's the first time I won't be able to
It's
go.
more interesting if it happened in Abu Dhabi, like Kiara. So I'm sorry, but we just have to make that happen.
So you're telling me I'm going to be sitting in front of the Prince of Monaco with my F1 TV like this, saying, "I'm so sorry, I just need to see who's going to win."
He'll understand.
He'll probably
He's
be
a
able to
Charles
have your
fan.
shoulder. Yeah. Just go, can we
Unfortunately,
get
the
this on a
man
bigger
is stuck in
screen?
a
I've only got this on a little
graduation
phone here.
ceremony. That's why we're not going because some of our friends are graduating and we want to be there.
I feel like that's the friend's fault at this point.
Yeah.
They should have chosen a different day to graduate.
There's 24
Graduation on a
weekends in the
weekend. Madness.
year. Yeah, 24 weekends in the year, they're F1. That still leaves about 20 what's
20.
Yeah, 20 weekends in a year. I don't know how many weekends there are in a year to pick otherwise. But anyway, fun fact out of the way, it is time to finally get to what I think Timo has been itching to do for a little while, which is lay down some predictions. So, Timo, we'll start with your pole position prediction, please.
Well, I'm not going too mad to start off with because there is some logic, which for pole, as you've agreed with me, I think there is a bit of logic here as well. Max Verstappen, he's on it. Qatar is a good hunting ground for him. Makes sense.
I
Bosh.
think it suits the Red Bull at the moment as well. It's a circuit that that car, a style of circuit that that car respond well to. Now they've overcome sort of its handling deficits it was suffering at the start of the year. A circuit with lots of braking zones where it needs to be on the nose, where Verstappen needs that car to feel. They've got the car back under him, and I think we're going to see a sort of godly lap time extracted from Verstappen that's going to basically have people struggling to try and beat it, and then he'll sort of do a final run at the end of Q3 and just extend it by a further 3/10, and everyone will just go, yeah,
I'm going to say 3 seconds then. Just go, that would be a
that
distraction.
was absurd. Yeah, he's running the MotoGP layout or something ridiculous, but no, I think it's going to be one of those weekends where everyone's chasing a Verstappen time. He goes out to chase it and finds 3/10. It's I feel it in my bones. Kiara, who
Sure.
Pole position. Well, see, I'm still holding out hope that it could be Lando. So I'm going to stick with that. I'm going to give some positive vibes here. Just to help him a little bit. Somebody has to believe in him. That's gonna be me.
You want to make it a bit easier for him. I get that.
Yeah, reasonable. Timo, though, when it comes to your podium prediction, how are you laying this one out?
Disagreeing with myself already from what I was saying just before we got to the predictions, I'm gonna say Piastri. It just be more interesting going into Abu Dhabi then. Piastri wins the Grand Prix, Verstappen in second, Lando in third. And I've been generous with Lando in third because I thought, again, is that too many points to give him still for the other two to overhaul? But at the same time, if they can keep it clean, the three of them, then that's believable.
That podium, ignoring the sprint, would see obviously Verstappen close in on 3 points within not Lando, and obviously it would move Piastri what 28-10 points closer to Lando's, leaving them with just a 14 and a what nine and a
And
nine.
you only need to win by a point. So,
Do you
overall in Abu Dhabi, I
really
mean.
want this much emotional damage?
I don't have anything to lose here at this point because before McLaren's got disqualified last weekend, I'd kind of written. I went to bed after Vegas writing off the rest of the season because I thought, well, that's that done. Woke up to the best news. and thought, okay, this is very interesting again. And I don't really have any skin in the game. I think if Lando does it, fine. If Piastri does it, brilliant comeback. If Verstappen does it, hilarious, because he somehow managed to pull that off after McLaren have dropped the ball massively. So this is quite a nice situation to be in, where I genuinely don't think I mind too much, because I'd already written the year off of that a few days ago. So I'm happy.
Yeah, it's a baffling situation, and I think I would like to see Verstappen overcome the greatest points difference going into a championship run to take the title. I think that would be really exciting, but I do want Piastri to take that win. I think.
I think if that happens, Carlos Sainz isn't the only person doing the Kermit meme at that point. We're all just there sipping our tea going, oh.
Yeah, I think there'll be a lot of drivers and just sort of people from around the Formula One world that are sitting there just sort of full Kermit the Frog, sipping the Lipton, just going, didn't think that was going
Not
to
my business.
happen. Meanwhile, when it comes to my podium prediction, I'm going to spice things up and go Verstappen, Russell, Piastri. I think we see Verstappen start to inch closer in that points difference. I think Russell is on a really strong form at the moment, and I think the Mercedes has got it in it to cope with this weekend. I think it's going to be a lot for Antonelli to deal with, sort of multiple pit stops, going through that sort of very quick tyre degradation, or not really tyre degradation is the issue, is the fact that the tyres don't degrade, they just simply get too
Oh.
hot, so the curbs take them out. It's very weird. And then Piastri third place, I think he's going to outscore Norris, and I had a gap on my podium. It sent me, it felt like a sensible place to put him. Kiara, I think you're going to go completely counter to us.
Actually, I did say this today. I think it's gonna be Oscar, Lando, and then maybe Max, unless something happens. Because sometimes I get the feeling, because he. You know, you rarely see a Max DNF, right? You rarely see something happen to him that could really, really ruin his race. And I feel like this could be the time it comes back and happens again, basically. So that's what I'm going with. It would be nice to see Oscar win as well, because I said if Lando's not going to do it, I'd like Oscar to have it, because that would be insane. And in my opinion, despite me also wanting Lando to win, I think Oscar has a lot of championship, potential in the next coming years of Formula One. And I said, if Lando doesn't win the championship this year, I don't think he's ever going to win it.
Yeah, I think that's a fair, certainly the Lando statement is a very fair one, and one that's
That's
echoed
why I think you
around.
want Verstappen to win more than Piastri does, Jesse, because you know that Piastri's still got the potential, whereas Verstappen, it won't matter if he does or doesn't in the future. And it would just be funnier after last year when there was all the, oh, we've got a championship fight. We never really did, because Max is Max. And then the one time it's possible, Max goes, you know what? No.
I also want Max to do it because I think that he would get his fifth and just leave F1. And I think
Yeah.
I'm here for the implosion
It
at
would
Red
make Red
Bull.
Bull so much happier
Yeah.
with figuring out their driving situation, if nothing
Because
else.
they will dismiss Yuki Tsunoda, and then Max Verstappen will leave, and they'll leave Red Bull with two seats at the top and two at the bottom, and they will have to just simply go, right, you two, come here, out of the
Was
tire.
going to say, that's still perfect solution. Lawson and Hadjar at Red Bull, Iwasa and Lindblad at Racing Bull.
Check engine, ABS, or maintenance light on? Take the guesswork out of your warning lights with O'Reilly Veriscan. The service is free and provides a report with solutions verified by ASE certified master technicians. And if you need help, we could recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Because I have no issues.
Yeah, I just think it'd be funny to watch Red Bull squirm as they do that and have new technical regulations come in and the team full of both rookies, and you're sort of like, oh, this is exciting again. And I don't know. I like the
Let's
idea
manifest
of it. Yeah. Meanwhile.
we're just gradually annoying Kiara more and more.
No, I mean, it's not that. You know, at the end of the day, I was quite shocked to see Max at the Nürburgring testing all of a sudden. I'm like, oh, it's him again. Great. So I do potentially see him going in that direction, because I know he loves GT racing. But I mean, you have a point. He's got a child now, and maybe he wants to spend more time with this child. So he's probably going to go in the direction of maybe WEC or I don't want to say IMSA because that's really across the pond, but maybe, GTWC, maybe even DTM, and he can race alongside the driver that he sponsors. That would be kind of fun.
Yeah, there's a lot of opportunities. He will probably eventually end up doing something like the Nürburgring 24 Hours Le Mans. He'll probably go and do Daytona on a whim in like a GT3 spec car. There's going to be some really interesting opportunities that essentially he'll be the most wanted driver on the sort of every grid possible, because also the attention that he'll bring. And the one thing I don't think we'll ever see him do is go historic racing, because it just doesn't have the appeal to him. There's none of the precision and cleanliness of modern GT and sport car racing that classic stuff does, which, unlike the likes of Jenson Button, we're not going to see him sort of start racing Jaguar C types at Goodwood. It's a shame, because I think he'd be absolutely hilarious in it, because all of a sudden he's in a car that's at 300 horsepower and zero grip, and it's
I was
I
going to say no. If he's ever going to do his, I think it's if it's going to be anything, it'll be endurance. It'll be him, Vettel, and Webber in an endurance team because that'd just be fun. But
Oh.
then if he ever did historic racing, I don't know why you didn't think of this sooner, Jesse. It would be the London to Brighton.
I would love. I was only thinking the other day, actually, because next year marks, I think it's the centenary or like the 120th
Just the
anniversary.
speed differential, I think, is the only thing
Yeah.
that I think that would appeal to him because he'd just have a laugh the whole
Yeah.
time going, this is ridiculous.
Well, this is the thing I was thinking the other day. It's the 100, I think it's the 120th anniversary of Mercedes next year. So 1906, I think it was when they were officially founded. And I was thinking, would I be able to convince Mercedes that myself and George Russell should try and do the London, like an original Mercedes Benz Paton wagon or something? Because I think
You
that,
and Antonelli, maybe.
yeah, it'd just be fun. And I think it would be a great way to sort of do it. I've obviously got a platform to write about it, doing classic and old cars. And it's Mercedes. Surely they're not going to turn down the chance to don funny caps and period outfits, because that never goes wrong for them.
I was going to say because that went so well last time.
Horrifying flashbacks to the 2019 German Grand Prix. Anyway, we're getting towards fastest lap. And Timo, I was about to ask you for your prediction for fastest lap.
Charles Leclerc just wanted to do something different. I think he's probably going to be by himself, bless him. So he's going to have to do something. So why not?
Listeners, this is an audio medium, and you will have not seen Yara's reaction when Timo said Charles Leclerc, because honestly, I've never seen someone go, "This man is mad," before, it with just facial expression. It was perfect.
It's nice to be reminded.
And I agree with her. That's a stupidly
Thank
bold
you.
prediction. Yeah. I don't think the Ferrari's got it in it to do anything
No.
fast at the moment, let alone
I
a
think everyone will push too hard. They'll have tire blowouts, pit stops. Charles will find that sweet spot and get the fastest lap. Also, fastest lap doesn't mean it's the quickest lap you've ever seen. It just means the fastest lap of the Grand Prix.
Yeah.
We know that, but have you watched the other races?
Yeah, you can't do
Yes.
the fastest
Do
lap
you
like
see
that.
me? Have you not
To which I
listened to like
counter,
the
have you met me?
audio? Have you not listened to anyone complain? Have you not seen their faces after every race? Like Charles
To
doesn't even
which I.
seem too happy after a podium.
You
To
can't get
which I just
fastest lap
counter,
with the
have you met
coasting.
me? Yes, you have. So there we go. Balance is out.
If he does fasten lap while lift and coasting, that'll be impressive. I'm gonna go.
I'm gonna if he gets fastest lap, I'm gonna be the smuggest man on Monday.
You know what I'll do?
I'll ignore you.
I'll give you 2 points for it if he does as well,
Ooh, excellent. On the
which
record.
importantly, 2 points is all it takes for you
You
to,
need.
at the end of the Qatar Grand Prix, seal the prediction challenge.
Oh, I kind of want that to happen and for everything else to be wrong now, just so that's what seals it.
Yeah, you get no other points in the predictions, but you get your two for Charles Leclerc fastest lap, therefore sealing your predictions championship. It won't happen, because I think that Max Verstappen will get the fastest lap. I think it's bound to happen. He's got a strong record around this circuit, and the Red Bull is just untouchable at the moment. Look at where it was in Brazil. Look at where it was in Las Vegas. It's found its feet. It's back on form. And yeah, Qatar's going to be hot. Yes, it's going to be aggressive on the tires, but it's Max Verstappen. He's going to find a way around
Which Alpine are you choosing, Kiara?
it.
Not my neighbors, but honestly, I kind of wanted to be a rookie, so I'm gonna go with one of the rookies and I'm gonna say it's gonna be Hajar.
And she's giving me looks.
Hajar is a reasonable choice, to be
It is a
fair.
very reasonable choice.
Given the fact that I think in the past, what, eight Grand Prix, I think Hajar has outplaced at least one Ferrari more often than not. It's quite reasonable to expect him to fit slot in a fastest lap. We've seen Albon getting fastest laps more recently than we have the Ferrari in a Williams.
True. Strange times. At least I'm not saying Carlos Sainz. I'm not falling down that hole again.
Christ, that was a year and a half of waiting for Carlos Sainz to set a fastest lap for you. I don't think you're getting those double points. Meanwhile, though, the final round of predictions is our wild prediction. And Timo, I alluded to you with this earlier.
I have this and a counter, which you can decide if you want to add on as an extra for a potential bonus point, or however you want to do it, because it's a bit outlandish as well. But my initial wild prediction is that every driver has four pit stops. But then the one you made me think of earlier was we get a new race winner for 2025.
I'm not going
to... Because Qatar.
I'm not going to give you new race winner. I'm going to leave you to sit in the super making of every driver has four pit stops.
You think we'd more likely get a new race winner than every driver doing four pit stops?
Yeah.
Okay. No team is logically going to sit down and go, right, so a pit stop costs us 20 seconds.
But not because they're not doing it because they want to. They're doing it because the situation
requires it. So.
Yeah.
Because of my prediction.
I'm thinking like 21 and 24 sort of chaos of, Christ, everything's happening. We have to do this.
Are you counting just in case there's like a red flag, for example? Or are you like genuine pit stops, Timo? Because there is a difference.
I wish you hadn't said that, because now I'm going to be buggered either way here.
Because a red flag counts as your mandated tire change, but it is not a
pit stop. Exactly.
Then we're having proper pit stops.
It's got to be sort of about 2 seconds dial pit stop.
Yeah, in out.
Okay. Yeah, I don't think you're getting the point with that one either.
That's why it's a bold prediction.
I think a pit stop time at Qatar, it's a surprisingly long pit building as well because it's used for WEC. I think you're looking at a 30-second, 35-second pit stop there. So you're looking at teams adding voluntarily an extra minute to a minute and a half to their race times, plus in-laps and out-laps. And an out-lap, well, mind you, they don't...
We're in for a wild ride.
Yep, you're going to have to just eat your words with that one, or might have to eat my words. But I
don't mind. It's a wild prediction. That's what we mean when we say wild.
We'll see. I think we're going to see three drivers still seeing blowouts, though, because their teams are going to not have count correctly. There's going to be tyres that are overexceeded. We're going to see the curbs working their way into these sort of tyre walls. We're going to see tyres going pop, and I think it's going to be three. At least three.
Is your wild prediction, Kiara, that all my predictions come true?
No, I think I alluded to
He's
my
not that brave.
Prediction saying Max DNF, because for me, whenever he does, like, it's a huge thing because it never happens.
Oof. Just trying to make Lando happen too much.
Listen, at the end of the day, I'm going to be the one having him in front of me, like, listening to all of the yapping. So
just tune him out.
Yeah.
But I still have to be nice, because then I run to everybody, you know, grocery shopping or something. And then maybe I'll say I was on a podcast and I did some predictions, and then they listen to that bit. And at the end of the day, they're going to make my life here a living hell.
Very reasonable route for predictions. But a Max DNF, I think, it could happen. It might happen. All four tyres go at once and he sput off into the gravel. It could happen.
After his fourth pit stop. If that happens, that's a 1 in a million sort of...
Oh, that's like thing. The guy that put money on the Monza podium the other year when Gasly, Sainz and Stroll and somehow won like sort of a bazillion dollars or something, because he was like, fuck it, we'll see what happens. Okay, we have got some predictions laid down. We have previewed the Qatar Grand Prix. That is all for this episode of the Undercut Podcast. It is a relatively short one compared to our last one, which was gargantuan in proportions. No more Homeric epics here. We'll be back next week for a review of the Qatar Grand Prix. In the meantime, though, Timo, where can you be found if people want more content from your good self?
This week you can find me over on Cubs IndyCar, where I'll have a couple of episodes out, one on off-season news and the other on Indy Next Driver announcements. And I've got a couple of interviews out over on Normal on the Cubs with Virginia Moncini and Luciana Moreno Salcido. So there we go.
Very nice indeed. And Chiara, if have you got any online content that you'd like to direct people towards if they need to find more of you? Where can they be looking?
Yeah, obviously, either on my social media, on Instagram, Kiara_Martin1, but I've also got a couple of interviews coming out on Pit Debrief with the feeder series, specifically, you know, Joshua Dirksen and a couple of the team principals as well.
Very interesting. So plenty to look forward to in that case. And of course, if you want more from me, you can find me on the internet as @JesseOnCars on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok. And of course, you can pick up the latest issue of Classic Car Weekly out on shop shelves literally today, actually, is the fresh issue. And of course, there's the Classic Car Weekly podcast, which we recorded this afternoon, discussing the latest budget in the UK and whether or not it does impact classic car owners and what it means for you. Otherwise, that's all we've got time for. I'm going to go and get this edited ahead of the Qatar Grand Prix.